Well, we're going to continue to talk through the book of Judges today. And the story of Gideon, we've been learning a little bit about. One of the things that happened, I think you all remember, is that God was trying to help Gideon to see him the way that God saw him. God saw him as this mighty man of valor, and yet Gideon was a man who was really dominated by fear in his life. And we see in the story that God is doing things or allowing things to happen to draw him away from fear, to really trust God, to see God for who he is, but also to see himself as God sees him. And so we're going to continue that story as God is relentless to deal with our hearts. I hope you know that the Lord goes after the things in our life that he wants to change. And so the title of this message is called, What Was God Really After? And I think when I was reading through here, I believe I see something that God was really after in Gideon's life, but I think he's after in all of our lives. When you read the story, you might think that God was after a victory over the Midianites, but I believe that was secondary. I think that God was after something more important, and that is something in Gideon's heart. God deals with individual people, and I'm sure he's dealing with many of those other. There was 32,000 people in Gideon's army, and I'm sure that God was dealing with many of them, but this is a story of God dealing with a man to bring him to the place of seeing God for who he is and removing him from fear to a place of faith or confidence and trusting God. So what was God really after? Two things which I will develop here. But one is, he's after this man's heart. Number one, and you'll see that as we go through. The second thing he is after is he wants these people. If you remember the story, you know that they were people who were at that time worshiping Baal. They were worshiping a false god. And God wants this people to see him for who he is. He's caused Gideon to tear down his father's idols and the temple or the altar toward Baal. But God wants them to see him as the true Lord. And I think those are the two things that God was after. He was after a man's heart to be completely his. And he was after this idea of showing people who he really was. So let's develop that in this story. Chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. Now, I want you to understand what we're talking about here. The enemy had 135,000 people. Gideon had 32,000. Now, how many of you would honestly be able to say, if you were 32,000 against 135,000, we have too many here? What's God doing? He's continuing to press against this fear. I mean, maybe Gideon's ready to fight, and maybe he's looking at his army and he said, hey, we at least have 32,000. Let's go ahead and go. But the Lord comes at him and says, there are too many. And I'm sure when he said that to this guy, something dropped out of his heart like, oh, what are you talking about? Then the Lord said this, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. And I think in that statement there, in the first statement, I believe God's dealing with this man's heart by saying, you have too many here. He's still pressing on that fear. But I think in this second statement, he's basically saying, at the end of this story, I want you to be able to see that it was only something I could do. I don't want you to be able to boast that it was your strength or your ability or your army or even that you were a mighty man of valor. At the end of the day, God wants to make this thing so literally impossible that everybody would have to stand back and say, that is our God. That's something only he could do. And those, I believe, are the two things that God was really after in this whole story of the Midianites. The next thing that happens, he says, therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. These are warriors, okay? 32,000. How many does it say left there? 22,000 got up and left. And when I say that God was dealing individually with this man, Gideon, I think that that scripture kind of bears it out, because he wasn't dealing with the fear of everybody. He was dealing with the fear of Gideon. I want to deal with this man's life. So God is an individual God. He deals with us all individually. He knows what needs to be dealt with in my life. He knows what needs to be dealt with in your life. Ultimately, he wants your heart. But 22,000 people walked away. What do you think that did to Gideon's fear? I mean, you're standing there, you got 32,000, and you think, hey, we might be able to do this. You say, okay, anybody who's afraid, go ahead and go home. 22,000 walk away, leaving only 10,000 who are ready to fight. So if God was only after fear, I think he would have dealt with the 22,000. If he was only after victory, why not leave the 32,000 in place? He wanted that victory to be so amazing that people could only recognize it as the work of God. He wanted people to see him for who he is. The Lord told Gideon, after these 22,000 walk away, there are still too many. What is the Lord is pressing on fear. He wants to get rid of this fear in this man's life. I just whittled you down from 22,000 to 10,000, but Gideon, you still have too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go. The Lord is calling the shots here. I will test them and I will determine who will go with you and who will not. So what happened is all these 10,000 people came down to the spring, and some people bent down and they dipped their face into water and kind of sucked it up. And some of them put their hand down and brought it to their mouth, and it says they were lapping like dogs. 300 of them were lapping like dogs, and 9,700 were putting their head in the stream and drinking the water. So now you have this 10,000 people divided into two groups, a group of 300 and a group of 9,700. It says in verse 6, only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouth in the stream. What are you thinking Gideon's thinking at this point? Man, we've only lost 300. But the Lord's next words to him are again pressing on fear. He says, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to use 300 people. Now, for those of you who love math, I got this off the internet, so it's got to be true. They began with 4.5-1 odds. That's not too bad. For every man you had, the enemy had 4.5. You figure, hey, I can take out 4.5 men. I'm not sure how you take out a half a man, but now the odds are 450-1. There's like 1% of the people left than he started with. Why? Why? What is the Lord doing? He's dealing with the heart of Gideon, dealing with his fear, and he's showing the people who he really is. It's what he's really after. That night, the Lord said, go up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory. You know, in the eyes of the Lord, this was already a done deal. No question whether they were going to win this battle. Because God did it. I have given you victory over them. And then the Lord, I love this because you see the Lord was he was pressing against this man's fear, but he was also dealing with him gently. He says this, if you're afraid, how many of you know that's a big amen? If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So even here, God is still dealing with his fear, but he's gentle about it. He's pressing him. He's pushing him. He says, Gideon, if you're still afraid, I want you to know I have already given you victory. I have given you victory. It's in your hand. It's yours now. But if you're still afraid, just go down to the enemy and you will hear some things that will encourage you and make you eager to attack. So something's going to happen down there in that enemy camp that's going to change this man's life. It's going to radically turn him from being one full of fear, dominated by fear, to now being encouraged and actually eager to fight. After being stripped of 99% of your men, God's going to do something to change his heart to be a different person. What is God after? So what happened was Gideon and his friend went down to the enemy camp, and they heard this guy had a dream about a piece of bread or something rolling down a hill. And he's telling this dream to his buddy, these two enemy guys. He said, I had this dream, and in this dream I saw this piece of bread rolling down a hill, and it hit a tent, and the tent collapsed. And this friend says, this can be none other than Gideon, and that God is going to give him the victory and destroy our camp. Now, how they got that interpretation from that dream, I have no idea. But it's what Gideon needed to hear. And it says this. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing, that God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all of its allies. And look at verse 15. I believe this verse 15, when I read this, I just sense in my heart that this is what God has been after all along. It says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. See, God brought this man to a place of bowing in worship before the Lord. That's what he wants from every one of us. No matter what drives our life, fear, whether you're a mighty man of valor or not, what God really wants is for each one of us to bow in worship before the Lord. Remember, he's taken these people who've been used to worshiping Baal, and he's trying to show them who he is. And he's whittling this army down. He's dealing with this man's fear. But the change took place in Gideon's life right here. He bowed in worship to God. And I feel in my own heart that that is exactly the place that God wanted to bring him. When the Lord said, you will hear something that will encourage you and will make you eager to fight, that was the turning point. He heard the interpretation of this dream, and his response was, I worship you, Lord. I give my heart and my worship to you. So, verse 15b, he returned to the Israelite camp, and he shouted, get up! For the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. This sounds so different, doesn't it? He's no longer a man dominated by fear. Now he is speaking the words of God. The Lord said, I have given you victory over this enemy. Now Gideon's coming back after falling down in worship before him, saying, God has given us victory. Now he's stirring up this whole army of 300 people. He's now... His heart is in sync with God. He's seeing what God sees. He's seeing the victory the Lord sees. He knows it's not all about him, because he talks about the sword of the Lord and Gideon. He knows the Lord is involved in this. But all this took place, this change in this man's heart from being a man of fear to a man of courage, a man who's willing to run into battle with 300 people against 135,000 is the work of God that took place because he worshiped.
He was a worshiper of God. When the 300 Israelites, well, I don't have all these scriptures on here, but most of you are familiar with the story. Let me just talk you through it real quick. So Gideon has this plan. And I think it's Gideon's plan. It doesn't say the Lord told him to do this, but Gideon had a plan. So imagine each of you are one of these army, and we're going to surround the camp, 135,000 people with 300. So you're going to be spread out a little bit. But he had them in groups of 100. And Gideon said, here's your weapons. Everybody gets a trumpet. There's your trumpet. Everybody gets a torch or like a candle. And everybody gets a clay jar. How many of you would feel comfortable going into the battle 300 against 135,000? Well, you wouldn't. Why? Because the Lord wants to show you it is his battle. It's not yours. It is the Lord's battle. He wanted this group of men to see God for who he really is. This seems impossible to you, but it's not impossible for God. And so he gives these people a trumpet and a jar of clay, and they put their torches inside the jar so it was dark. And they go around them at night, and they're in groups of 100, three groups of 100 surrounding the enemy. And Gideon says, now at a certain point in time, I'm going to blow my trumpet. And when I blow my trumpet, I want everybody to blow their trumpet. And then we're going to smash the vase and the light will come out. That was it. That was the battle plan. That was the strategy. And they walked out, and you know the story. They walked out, they surrounded the enemy. At a certain point, Gideon said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, smash, blowing the trumpet and the light coming out. And somehow, in the midst of that, verse 22, when the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. It says, those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shittah near Zerah and to the border of Abel Meholah near Tabith. Excuse my Hebrew. But the Lord won this battle. They just stood and watched. They stood around there and they cracked their vases and blew their horns. And these people began to kill one another. You'll see later on, they continued to pursue them until there was 15,000 left. And they continued to pursue them. We'll talk about that next week, next time. But I think the message of the day is, what was God really after? He wasn't just after a victory of the Midianites. He was after the heart of this man. He wanted Gideon to be a worshiper of God. He took him out of a house that was given to the worship of Baal. And he slowly began to work with him, dealing with his fear, to the place where now he worships the Lord. And I believe that's what he wants for every one of us. I would like you to stand with me as we close here in prayer and ask a couple of questions as you think about what is your next step. Here's a question. What if all of God's dealings in your life, whatever they are, good or bad, what if every dealing of God in your life is designed to move you to worship? Maybe it is. That everything that happens in your life is designed to bring you to that place we found here in the book of Judges, where he bowed in worship to the Lord. That's an amazing thing if that's the case. I can point at times in my life where I know the Lord had done that with me and with Ruth. But man, I kind of want to camp out there. I want to be able to say, Lord, everything that comes our way, everything that comes into our life is designed to get my heart You want my heart more than anything else to be a worshiper of God. So here's a question I would like to ask you. What is it that captures your heart more than the Lord? You know, what is it that he needs to deal with in me to bring me to the place where I'm just a worshiper of God? Maybe there's something that God wants to put a finger on in your life. Maybe it's not fear. Maybe it's something else. But let the Lord do that. That's his work. What is it that keeps me from bowing in worship to the Lord? Don't be afraid of God. He is relentless. He will pursue whatever that thing is in our hearts, but he's gentle. If he leads us gently through this process, like we saw with Gideon, if you're still fearful, go down. You're going to see something. You're going to experience something that's going to change your life. God works with us. Let him have his way. I guess the third thing I would ask you is, in prayer, ask God to help you see yourself the way he sees you. You know, we often see ourselves the way others project onto us. People have told us, you're no good, you're a failure, you're this, you're that. And we embrace all those things, but God is not saying that about us. Who is God saying you are? That's what he's after in your life. He saw this man as a mighty man of valor. And that's what he called out. Gideon didn't see it. And so God began to deal with him to actually bring him to that place. But even in that place where he was a mighty man of valor, Gideon recognized it was the Lord. It was the Lord's battle. Last question I would ask you is, if God were to pursue some area of my heart to move me to worship and obedience, what might it be? And I would ask you this morning to pray about that. What is that one thing, Lord, that you want to do? So we come before you, Lord Jesus. We see this beautiful story of how you worked with a man and you worked with a people. You wanted to show them who you really are. And you wanted Gideon to see that. And you wanted to deal with this fear that kept him from being the man of God you called him to be. Thank you, Lord, the way you pressed him, the way you continually pushed upon his heart, but ultimately bringing him to that place where he worshiped you. Bring us all to that place, Lord, where we have nothing else that we stand for other than that worship of you. Change our hearts. Make us into the mighty men and women of valor that you see us to be, Lord. And we commit ourselves unto you for that work. We ask you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.